I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's the final stretch. 1 week from tomorrow, Election Day. And some important deadlines in Pennsylvania and New Jersey to tell you about as the show progresses. Big night in Madison Square Garden last night. And no, it was not a Nazi rally, despite what the media would like to have you believe. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. I tell you what, Madison Square Garden last night, I mean, unbelievable. Even John Carl from ABC News had to acknowledge this is a movement he has just never seen anything like before in politics. We've been saying that, of course, on this show for quite some time. Donald Trump, he has a loyalty among voters that you just don't see in politics. And of course, he also has a hatred that you also just don't see in politics. Well, except the left hates every Republican president and every Republican candidate. But this is particularly vicious. But it's not working for them. There's a story today in the New York Times. And again, this is the far right wing conservative New York Times, so take it with a grain of salt. That the Kamala Harris campaign, the super PAC, is warning them. Their message, calling Trump Hitler and a fascist, is not working. Right. It's not working because it's a stupid message and nobody believes it. Nobody. And MSNBC is so incredibly shameful. Last night, I didn't watch it, obviously, MSNBC's coverage of the rally, but they actually showed the clips from the 1939 Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden. But here's what I don't know. Why didn't they show Bruce Springsteen playing Madison Square Garden? I mean, Springsteen has played there many, many times. And now he's out there campaigning for Kamala Harris. He's going to do a big show in Philly. So if the linkage is that if you do a show there, because the Nazis did a show there once, well, then that makes you a Nazi. Why is Kamala Harris having a Nazi come out and sing for her? Would be my question. If we're going to play this stupid, idiotic game. But of course, we're not going to. Because everything is looking really good for Trump, the enthusiasm factor, the metrics. I had a friend who voted today in New Jersey. She said she waited for a very, very long time to vote in Burlington County at Rowan College. We're hearing stories of people waiting in line for 2.5, 3 hours for early voting. And I know Dom spent a lot of time in this earlier in the show, people getting actually turned away at various polling places in Bucks County. So we'll be all over that in the days to come. But what's obvious is there's enthusiasm. Now, this is what I said in Fox News yesterday. Here's what we don't know. We don't know if that enthusiasm is all enthusiasm for Trump. We know a lot of it is, obviously. We don't know how much of that enthusiasm are people going to vote to try to stop Trump. We know it's not enthusiasm for Kamala Harris. We know that. People are not excited about this candidate. They're not happy that they hate Trump. So how much of that is enthusiasm lining up to stop Trump? I don't know the answer to that. None of us do. And we won't know until obviously all the votes are counted. But my gut tells me there's more enthusiasm for people to go and wait in line 2.5 hours to vote for him than there is to try to stop him, especially if they think he's going to win. So I think the enthusiasm is on his side. That's how I'm reading this. I mean, look, John Fetterman came out over the weekend and said it's astonishing. The level of support that Donald Trump has in Pennsylvania is astonishing. He said it is a special connection. He gets it. He understands this. Even Chris Cuomo is coming out now and saying he understands the appeal that Donald Trump has with working class voters and people that are angry at the system and want somebody to go in there and fight like hell for them and to push back. By the way, we are streaming live on YouTube right now, so join the fun. YouTube, 1210 WPHT, our page, sign up, like it, and get all the updates for when any of the shows go live. And this is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike has been named a master of dental implants among his peers for the last 12 years. Go to VeneriaDental.com. So when you've got Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman coming out and saying Donald Trump has a special connection, And you're hearing people lining up and waiting 2.5 hours to vote early in person. And the messaging from the Republican National Committee and the Trump campaign has been vote early. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till Election Day. Vote early. Get out there and vote. Then I think there's really good reason to believe a lot of that enthusiasm you're seeing, especially in Pennsylvania, Trump voters. And yes, the Democrats are outpacing the Republicans in terms of mail-in ballot requests and returning those mail-in ballots, but still down significantly from 2020. Still up among over Republicans, but still down from where they were in 2020. There's definitely an enthusiasm gap among Democrats because they don't like Kamala Harris, but they hate Donald Trump's guts. How much of that moves the needle to get people to say, I will go out and vote? Now, I was reading someone, I forget who it was, some Trump-hating writer who said he thinks women, suburban women, are going to walk over glass, to quote him, to vote against Donald Trump over the abortion issue. I don't see it, really. And obviously, I'm not a suburban woman. I'm not a biologist either, so maybe I am, and I just don't know I am. I don't know. I don't want to rule anything out since I'm not a biologist. But I don't see that reflected in the metrics and the polls. So what they're counting on now is they're counting on this shy Harris voter, kind of offshoot of what the quiet Trump voter was in 2016 and 2020. But the difference, though, is that people are still telling pollsters how they feel about all these issues, and abortion is just not ranking up there. And maybe it's because they just don't believe this idea that it's really going to be illegal on a national level. You know, the Harris campaign tried that, and it just didn't work. It didn't move the needle. And you know that it didn't move the needle because they're back to comparing him to Hitler and saying he's a fascist. But it's not working. And I'll go through the polling memo with you in great detail from this article. But just real quick, just so you know, the headline on this, what I saw, and it's this. Pro-Harris Super PAC raises concerns about focusing on Trump and fascism. It's a group called Future Forward, and they warn that attacking Donald Trump as a fascist or questioning his character or stamina are less effective than highlighting Kamala Harris's proposals. Of course, here's the problem. Kamala Harris has no real proposals, none that actually excite people. $25,000 for a first-time home buyer, this stuff is not getting people jazzed up. So they're back to 2016's playbook of Donald Trump's Hitler. He's a fascist. He's going to destroy democracy. He's going to destroy the world, put people in camps, and blah, 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 blah. And I just think it is falling flat. And if I'm thinking that, and then I read this polling memo from their super PAC, and they're saying that it's definitely falling flat, then we can conclude that, yeah, it's falling flat. So why do they keep doing it? And the only answer I can come up with is that within the Democrat Party right now, there is such Trump derangement. I mean, they've always hated Republicans. You know, go back to Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater is going to cause nuclear war, nuclear annihilation. Johnson had that famous Daisy ad. Little girl picking the petals, and as the guy's voice comes out and starts counting down, and the whole idea is that Goldwater is going to be a fascist and destroy the world, and they tried it with Reagan. Reagan was going to cause World War III. George W. Bush was a fascist. I mean, they do this all the time. Hell, Mitt Romney, who they love, Mitt Romney was an animal abuser, put his dog on his roof. John McCain, who now everybody on the left, you know, oh, the exalted, why can't we be more like John McCain? John McCain was a racist. So they always do this stuff, but with Trump, it's particularly gruesome with him because they see the level of support he has. That just none of those other Republicans. Well, Reagan had it, and Goldwater had a lot of support too. But I mean, nothing in this century comes close to what Donald Trump has had. Really, nothing in politics has come close to the level of support Donald Trump has. Enthusiasm. Where you know 100% of the people who go to a rally and wait 8 hours in line are voting. And there's a whole thing with Kamala Harris and Beyonce. I don't know if you know this or not. They're actually calling it Beyonce Gate. So they told people that Beyonce was going to come and perform in Texas. They had a rally for Kamala Harris over the weekend in Texas. And they billed it as their biggest rally yet. And I saw the headline. I went, God, this rally's huge. And then I read it and it said, oh, Beyonce is going to be there performing. Oh, but Beyonce didn't perform. She got on stage. She talked for a little bit and then she left. And there's a clip. It's about a minute and 30 seconds of Kamala Harris standing there where people are just booing. And she's doing that laughing cackle thing, you know what I mean, that she does. But people are booing and they're angry. They're really angry that they thought they were going to get a, they thought they were going to get a show with Beyonce and they didn't get it. But those are the kind of stunts that she has to pull to get a crowd. And Donald Trump doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to promise any celebrities there. He doesn't have to have any comedians there. In fact, maybe he shouldn't. But he doesn't need to. It's all organic with him. Everything with him is organic, and that's something that, that you can see, and that doesn't translate very well to Democrats who hate the guy. So they don't understand it. Fetterman understands it. I mean, Fetterman gets it. He understands the special connection that Donald Trump has with the people of Pennsylvania. In fact, let's begin there, shall we, with cut number 23. This is him talking to the New York Times. Take a listen.
She is running almost at a tie in your state. You've said that Trump has a special connection with the people 100%. Of Pennsylvania. Why? What is it that you see that he appeals to in your state?
There's a difference between not understanding, but also acknowledging that it exists. And anybody spends time driving around and you can see the intensity. It's astonishing. I was doing an event in Indiana County, very, very red. And there was a superstore of Trump stuff, and it was 100 feet long, and it was dozens of T-shirts and hats and bumper stickers and all kinds. I mean, it's like, where does this all come from? I mean, it was almost like Taylor Swift kind of swag. It's like of everything. It wasn't just a sign. It's the kinds of thing that has taken on its own life on that. And it's like something very special exists there. And that doesn't mean that I admire it. It's just like it's real.
It's real. It's real. It's real. And it's something that you don't normally see in politics. Democrats don't know how to counter that. They have a candidate who's not exciting to them. They're not happy about this. And so all they can do is try to scare people away from Trump. That's all they can do. Now, you probably saw this ad yesterday during the Eagles game. I think it's an incredible ad. I really do. I said yesterday, this ad is like Morning in America on steroids. The new Trump ad that they put out. It's about 2 minutes, but I think it's worth playing. I'm a big fan of political ads. And some of my favorites, well, I mentioned the Daisy ad by Barry Goldwater. I thought that was an incredibly effective ad. I mean, as much as I would have loved for Barry Goldwater to have won that race against Lyndon Johnson, I think history would show that that would have worked out a lot better for everybody. Yeah, no doubt about that. But it was a really effective ad. Morning in America by Reagan was an incredibly effective ad. This ad that Trump pulled out yesterday during the game was also an incredibly effective ad. And it's the kind of thing when you watch it, you go, this is a great closing argument ad. This is an ad where you play this and you go, all right, people who watch this, obviously the base gets excited about it. They do. But in addition to that, people that might be on the fence look at the optimism of the ad, and all ads that are good are contrast ads where you put your you play a contrast between you and your opponent. And this ad does that perfectly because it shows what America was like when Trump was president versus where America went when Joe Biden took office. And this is the ad for you to listen to and watch on our YouTube stream, Cut 27.
When I first came into office, I cut taxes more than any other president. We have created 7 million new jobs, and it led to a growth like we've never seen before. We developed the greatest economy in history by far. When I left office, it changed. Inflation destroyed the lives of so many people. Interest rates went from 2% to 10%. Millions of illegal immigrants, traffickers, and drugs coming into our country. Our country has gone to hell. So I made a decision to run. We're going to make America great again, greater than ever before. I will fight for you with every breath, and I will never let you down.
President Trump is literally putting his life on the line, and he's willing to risk it all because he loves this country.
He is strong, he is fearless, and he is what this country needs right now.
Our cities will be safe, our streets will be clean, and our border will be secure.
We can't allow our country to be destroyed by politicians who will put their own power ahead of the interests of the American people, our freedom, and our future.
The left told me to hate Trump. When you cut through the lies, you realize the truth. American families were better when Donald Trump was president. We were safer, wealthier, and stronger.
So if you love this country, if you want to stand up and fight for the future of our nation, you must re-elect Donald J. Trump.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
It's a very positive ad, and it's a great contrast to the way things are with the Biden-Harris administration. And it's got tons of American flags and people cheering, and it's got him, you know, with the fist after the assassination attempt, and you see him saying, fight, fight, fight. And it says, Donald Trump will make America affordable again. Donald Trump will make America safe again. It's a really good ad. And the key, too, about it is that it played during the Eagles game. Again, it's the Harris campaign has a male voter problem. I'm not suggesting that women don't watch football. All I'm saying is that a lot of men do. And obviously, a lot of men watch football, and going on Rogan's podcast on Friday was also really smart of Trump, because Joe Rogan's audience is primarily guys. He even said during one exchange, Trump said to him, he goes, could you imagine Kamala Harris doing this interview? And Rogan said, yeah, I could, actually. And I would treat her like a human being, and I would just have a conversation with her, try to get to know her, and she should do it. She should do it. I mean, if she were smart, she would do Joe Rogan's podcast. They have a major, major problem with male voters. Trump is crushing it with male voters at every demographic, black, Latino, white, obviously, all across the board. He's crushing it with those gaps, with those demos. She needs to do something to make up for that. Going on Rogan would be a really smart move. Why won't she? And you got to ask yourself, why not? And I think the reason is because she really is afraid to do a 2.5 hour, 3 hour conversation with Joe Rogan. She's afraid to do it. So you got a week left. Early voting's underway. People are waiting hours to vote. There's mail-in ballot applications. The numbers are huge. What do you do if you're the Harris campaign at this point? Well, one thing you do is you tell Joe Biden to stay the hell off the campaign trail. So this is awkward. Joe Biden, who forgot Donald Trump's name today, by the way, he literally is like, I mean, her opponent, that guy, bad. Oof. But they're saying don't come on the campaign trail, which is awkward because Biden wants to be out there. He thinks everybody loves him. They don't love him. But it's too late to try to distance yourself from Biden with a week to go. Michelle Obama goes out there urging men to vote for Vice President Harris. I'm not listening to Michelle Obama. I mean, as a guy, I don't need Michelle Obama lecturing me who to vote for. I don't need anybody lecturing me to vote for. But that's not going to do it. I mean, if you're a guy and you're on the fence about who to vote for, and you listen to Joe Rogan, but maybe you have reservations about Donald Trump for whatever reason. I don't know what those reasons would be. And you don't hear Kamala Harris go on there, and That's a really bad strategic move. But this campaign is making so many bad strategic moves. And focusing on Trump being a fascist and focusing on Trump being Hitler is probably the worst move that they've made to date. Their own polling memo shows that. Their super PAC memo shows that. It's not moving the needle. But I could have told you that back, and I did, back in the winter. When James Carville's group released that memorandum, a very grim memorandum, going on about how when they asked voters, Republicans and Democrats and independents, which party, which candidate seems to be more mainstream, they went with Trump. Which candidate seems to be better about protecting democracy was Trump and Republicans. Which party seems to be more extremist, it was the Democrats and Joe Biden at the time. So it was never going to move the needle for them. Why do they keep doubling down on this? And the answer is because there's so much Trump hatred out there. And you never hate your enemies. You know, Godfather is very clear on this point. Never hate your enemies because it clouds your judgment. But these people, their judgment is so clouded by just pure and utter hatred of the guy. So then you watch the rally at Madison Square Garden, and I think a couple takeaways from that. Number one, first of all, it dominates the media cycle. It dominates everything. But if you're a person who's libertarian leaning, or maybe you're a Democrat, or maybe you're somebody who just doesn't want war, You hear Tulsi Gabbard get on stage at Madison Square Garden. And Tulsi's not getting any real attention for her speech last night because it was overshadowed by other people. But it should. She was great. I think there's a lot of young people who are very, very concerned about war. I think it's a winning message. Young males don't want to go fight in Ukraine or fight in the Middle East or fight anywhere, for example. Dads don't want to see their sons and daughters have to be drafted. Trump brought up the draft line last night during his speech, and I thought that was really smart. I think this is a big issue. If you're a libertarian-minded voter and you don't like Donald Trump for whatever reason, but you got to make a binary choice, and you can make that choice come down to which party is the party of war and which party is the party that's going to drive us towards peace. And then you hear Tulsi Gabbard, a former Democrat, who's a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army Reserve, come out and say this. It means a lot. Cut number two. Cut two.
Here is the choice that we have. A vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for Dick Cheney, and it's a vote for war, more war, likely World War III and nuclear war. A vote for Donald Trump is a vote for a man who wants to end wars, not start them. And who has demonstrated already that he has the courage and strength to stand up and fight for peace. A vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for open borders, where known violent criminals and Islamist terrorists are streaming across our borders, placing us at risk. A vote for Donald Trump is a vote for secure borders and safe communities and a confidence that he will seek out those who seek to do us harm and get them out. A vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for economic hardship, high cost of living, poverty, and homelessness. And a vote for Donald Trump is a vote for economic prosperity and opportunity for every single one of us as Americans.
Good stuff. Good stuff from our buddy Tulsi Gabbard. All right, we got a big show for you today. Got some great guests coming up. Lots of analysis for you, and I'll give you the real detail on why Trump fascist argument is backfiring on Kamala Harris and the Democrats with a week to go. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli and streaming live on YouTube. So take a listen, take a watch, join in the fun, join in the chat. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good song. Nice. Who recommended that one, Justin?
That was an Otero personal selection.
Oh, well done, my friend. Excellent.
Thank you.
If I'm not mistaken, that's the end of Breaking Bad, right?
Yep. I just finished rewatching it for like the third time over the weekend, so I figured I'd work it in at some point.
Smart. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a great way to end that show, too. Really good. Really good. So no Beyonce last night, which was very disappointing for a lot of people. Oh, so now that you watch Breaking Bad, have you seen Better Call Saul?
I've seen Better Call Saul about 2-3 times. I think we're gonna now that I've refinished watching Breaking Bad, I'm gonna rewatch Better Call Saul again.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that makes sense. I like it.
Two great, like it. Amazing shows. Love them both.
Indeed. Indeed, in their own special way, they're both fantastic. You don't even need to say which one's better because they're both great. Did you see the movie?
El Camino.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It was all right. I mean, it's good, but it's not like it doesn't compare to like two incredibly like fleshed out series. Like you can only do so much with an hour and 20 something minutes.
Yeah, that's true, but definitely worth a watch.
100%.
I remember when the final episode of Breaking Bad was airing, and I was actually filling in on the morning show back then on PhD, and I had to stay up late to watch it. I wasn't going to not do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But You had to.
I think it was like in October when it aired. I had just started high school.
Don't tell us that.
October 2013.
Nobody wants to hear that, how young you are. Nobody needs to. Nobody. Now you've just depressed everybody. All right, well, let me cheer you up by listening to Kamala Harris get booed. And we can watch this on YouTube, too. So people go to this big rally in Houston. They think Beyonce's going to sing. Beyonce doesn't sing. Beyonce gets on the stage. This is Beyonce Gate. Now, it's a big deal. It really is problematic for them because it says a lot of things. Number one, they can't get people in there unless they promise a big name. Number two, people come and then they're not happy with the fact that they don't get to see Beyonce. So it's being called Beyonce Gate. And there's a thread about this on YouTube. And here's the context. With Trump visiting Texas Friday for a sit-down with Joe Rogan, Kamala needed to make a splash. So she brought Beyonce to endorse her in Houston. And the news was spread, but it was going to be more than just an endorsement. There were the legacy corporate media went all in and decided to say this. So here are some of the headlines. Beyonce expected to perform Freedom at Kamala Harris Houston rally. Harris unleashes the star power of Beyonce at Raucous Rally. Beyonce set to perform. Those are all the headlines. And remember, they pulled a similar stunt with the Democrat National Convention. They told us that there was going to be a surprise. There were all these people saying like Taylor Swift was going to show up and sing. Beyonce was going to show up and sing. None of that happened, but the media ran with that too. Same thing. Watch live. Beyonce returns to hometown at Houston to perform at Kamala Harris rally. But then she didn't. 30,000 people were mad as hell once Beyonce left the Kamala rally without performing, a total bait and switch. Now, the question is, what happened? Did the media just assume she was going to play? Were they misled by the Harris campaign that she was going to play? Did they coordinate with the campaign to mislead the public? In fact, MSNBC treated it as breaking news when the Harris campaign announced that Beyonce would appear and perform at a rally in Texas. Tim Murtaugh, who's going to be on the show later today, tweeted out a clip of that where MSNBC was saying she was going to sing. She was going to perform. Democrat voters are angry. And then there's a clip also of a black woman on Twitter who's angry as hell. Beyonce, we don't give a damn about you. For you to come here and try to finesse the black vote for a politician who don't even have no plans for your community goes to show us how much you care about your own people. That's one of the women who commented about this. People were really upset. So Kamala goes on stage and the crowd realizes they're getting duped. They're not getting a free Beyonce concert. And the booing and Kamala, this goes on for 90 painful seconds until she eventually tells them to leave. You don't have this at Trump rallies. And they're downplaying this, obviously, by focusing on a joke that the comedian made at Trump's rally last night to get attention away from this. But people were really, really upset. So listen and watch the video, and you can see how awkward it is for Kamala Harris if you're streaming on YouTube right now as all this is unfolding. Take a listen. She's just awkwardly smiling.
And we have a lot of work to do. And we have a lot of work to do. And we will not get distracted. We will not get distracted.
You'll get nothing in life.
Brutal. But you know what? Listen, you play games with people like that and they're going to get upset. All right, listen, Dr. Mike Venneri is going to give you a great smile, the smile you deserve, and I want you to mark a date on your calendar, and that is November 9th for his annual Veterans Breakfast and free community shredding event. That's right. Dr. Mike's a great guy. He's my family's dentist, and he's the master of dental implants. In fact, for 12 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been recognized among his peers as a master of dental implants. So go see him today. Make your appointment for a free implant consultation by going to VenariaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. And come out and join us on November 9th for the free Veterans Breakfast. Bring all the documents you need shredded to protect your identity. Get some coffee, cake, donuts, and you'll have a great time. It'll be a lot of fun. And when you need a new smile, and you deserve a great smile, go to my man, Dr. Mike. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, Dr. Mike is easy to get to from wherever you are. Dr. Mike Venneria, VenneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, we've talked about it. Early voting. Now we got a very important deadline on our hands. They always say not all heroes wear capes. Scott Presser is a hero. I don't think he wears a cape. Maybe he does. Scott Presser joins me right now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. How you doing, my friend?
I'm ready and raring to go.
Oh, you're breaking up though a little bit. Let's try that again. Let's see if we can get you a good connection there. What's that? Scott, let's try. Yeah, you're kind of breaking up. Let's do this. Can you give us a buzz back?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Can you try to call back? Because it's a really bad... I can't understand. Sounds like one of those old dial-up internets. We try to get Scott back on the air. We'll, in the moment, just say we have a very important deadline coming up in Pennsylvania tomorrow and a very, very important deadline coming up in New Jersey tomorrow as well. Tomorrow's your last day to request a mail-in ballot in New Jersey, just so you know, if you want to get one. And you can go to the county clerk's office or the Board of Elections, but the enthusiasm factor in both states is very critical, obviously, but Pennsylvania is the must-win state. Love to see Jersey go blue, but we have a lot of important candidates. There's some great Republicans running on the municipal level, county level, congressional, obviously, and also we've got candidates who are running for state Senate. All right, he's back now, so let me welcome back to the show. He's the man behind Early Vote Action, and you can follow him on X at Scott Presler. Scott, how you doing?
I think the Democrats are trying to stop me.
I think they are, too. No doubt about it. They're scrambling your phone. But nothing will deter you, Scott Presler.
Oh, that's right. Well, because, look, tomorrow is a very important day. Tomorrow, Tuesday, October 29th, is the last day that you, the listener, can vote in-person, on-demand mail-in ballot. And furthermore, it's the last day that you can request a mail-in ballot at all. So if you're not going to be in town on November 5th, or if you work a 12-hour schedule, or if you have young kids, or if you have an aging parent, or if you have work that takes you out of the state or possibly even the country, then please, I beg you, go to your Board of Elections tomorrow, and I want you to fill out a mail-in ballot application. You turn in that application. They call your name. You'll get your ballot. You'll fill out your ballot, and you'll turn it in person, all at the same time, and in person, on demand, mail-in ballot. Tomorrow is the last day, the last opportunity.
And you should do it no matter what the reason, I think, because you just never know what's going to come up on election day. You just never know. Life's unpredictable. Things happen, right?
Yeah, Arizona, the machines had printing errors on election day when Republicans vote. Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, ran out of paper on election day when Republicans vote. Mm-hmm. And even in Nevada, in Washoe County, a Republican county, it snowed on election day when Republicans vote. And we lost a Senate seat by 8,000 votes when 150,000 Nevada Republicans stayed home. So this election is too important, y'all, that we must lock in every single vote. And I have good news. The good news is I have heard from places all over the Commonwealth, from Beaver County to Pike County to York, that the lines are so long, and it seems to be a lot of conservatives that are voting early.
Yeah, that is great news. It really is. A couple of other thoughts on the on what you're describing for us, Scott Presser. Number one, you don't have to worry about trusting the mail system because a lot of people don't trust the post office or the postal system. Fine. Because to your point, you request your mail-in ballot. You get it. You fill it out. You turn it in. You hand it in. So it's checked. The box is checked. You don't have to worry about getting lost in the mail. It's done. And now you don't have to worry about getting called into a meeting on election day, a kid getting sick, flat tire, nothing. You're good to go. Because I know that's some of the reservations people have. You know, well, I don't want to mail it. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with that. Fair enough. You don't have to worry about that.
Exactly. And you can also track your ballot. And that's something that I really encourage for anyone that has already voted. Type into the internet, Pennsylvania, track my ballot or check my ballot. And you can actually see where it says that your ballot was processed. And here's something that's very important. If you see where it says ballot returned, don't freak out. Don't panic. Returned means where they received your ballot. It means that you returned your ballot to the Board of Election, to the processing place. So don't think return ballot means like they sent it back because it wasn't taken. No, it just means they received it.
Okay, good to know. The enthusiasm factor is huge. You yourself, you moved to Pennsylvania, put your money where your mouth is. Why I said not all heroes wear capes, Scott Presser, but you certainly are a hero. You moved to PA. You've dedicated your life to this effort. You've traveled all 67 counties. You've been everywhere, and you've got Republicans registered to vote. Now we have to translate that. We got to convert that into a ballot. And we also need to tell people that if you have requested a mail-in ballot, you have to return it, because I'm looking at those numbers and not all of them have been, to your point, returned yet. And that's a very important thing. You can't just request a ballot. It's like Seinfeld with reserving a car. Anybody can request a ballot, but you got to actually turn the ballot in.
Yes, well, the data came out today, and it's quite frankly stunning. I mean, I would even say a political earthquake. Democrats in the last day of voter registration added 19,000 voters. Republicans added 36,000 voters on the last day of voter registration. And so we have the momentum, we have the voters, we have the excitement, we have the policies. Now it's about getting ballots in the boxes. And so again, tomorrow, Tuesday, October 29th, is the last day of in-person, on-demand, mail-in voting. And otherwise, I need you to spend every single day making sure that every voter is going to come out on November 5th. That is Election Day.
I saw you posted a couple things on your X account, Scott Presser, over the weekend. One of them was the enthusiasm at Penn State. So during a Penn State football game, Trump had a rally there, and there was a ton of young people there. That's a great sign in Happy Valley. But number two, you're also talking about Luzerne County, and I think you're looking into something that's going on up there. Can you give us some detail into that?
Well, right now I want to focus on... So there are some investigations going on, so we don't have a whole ton of details, but I can tell you in regards to Center County that, you know, that's the largest campus of Penn State University where all the students are. And for so long, you know, I think students kind of leaned towards the Democrat Party. But get this, the data that we received today, Center County is under 1,000 voters away from flipping from blue to red. Wow. That is quite frankly historic. That is a monumental achievement, having the largest campus at PSU, and we're very close to flipping that county from blue to red.
Talk to me about the collar counties outside of Philadelphia, Bucks, Montgomery, Delaware County. Talk to me about those.
Well, Bucks County is a shining gem in the southeast corridor. And, you know, 4 years ago, the Democrats had an advantage of 15,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. Now, Republicans have an advantage of more than 5,000 more registered Republicans than Democrats.
Wow.
That's a shift of 20,000 voters to the right in a state that was decided by 80,000 voters in 2020. So that one county alone could very well be responsible for one-fourth of what 2020 was decided by in just one of the 67 counties. And even in Chester, we're seeing some movement to the right. And even in Philadelphia, actually, I looked at the data because we get party-to-party switches, and four times as many Democrats switch to Republican as vice versa in Philadelphia. I think that's a very big statement.
I think it's a huge statement. Absolutely. No question about it. And you've been going to places where people who should have been voting and should have been registered Republican have not been. Hunters and people that buy guns. And I mean, just different groups of people. You've been going to them. And I guess part of the problem is nobody had just ever asked them to register to vote before. You did. And they said yes. And then they decided to register as Republican. Sometimes it's just as simple as asking.
Correct. Well, we can't be under the assumption that people are registered to vote. You know, you go into a gun store and you probably think, oh, all these people are registered. No, 30% of Pennsylvania hunters are not registered. So even though the voter registration deadline is over, I still need you going and campaigning at your gas station, at your Walmart, at your Home Depot, at your church, at your fraternity house, at your gun show. Like, literally, you must talk to everyone. Wear your MAGA hat everywhere. And if somebody compliments you, say, great. Do you have a plan to vote this November? Do you have a plan to lock in your vote for Donald Trump here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania? And remember, a lot of people might feel maybe a little bit of shame for never having voted before. It's really incumbent upon us to make sure that they feel so welcomed into this process. We had Pam Probson, one of our staff, she went to a VFW hall. She registered a 94-year-old veteran that hasn't voted since he was in his 30s. And it was simply by courting him, by speaking to him, by treating him with value and agency. And so I'm just asking all of you, in the next week, you talk to every living soul that you see and you ask for their vote for Donald Trump and Dave McCormick and for all of our Republican tickets from the top of the ticket to the bottom.
I'm going to push back, and I'm just going to throw this out there, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to assume that the enthusiasm we're seeing right now, 2.5 hours, people waiting in line, I'm going to assume it's Democrats who are trying to stop Donald Trump. I'm going to assume that because I want people to get off their hump and get out there and vote. Because I don't want anybody thinking, well, we got the enthusiasm. We saw Madison Square Garden packed to the brim last night. We got all these great registration numbers. He's got this. I'm good. No. Let's assume 2.5 hours to vote are people that want to stop Donald Trump come hell or high water. And so the only way to counter that is to make sure we vote. And I really, truly, and this is why today, me personally, Scott, and I'm a Jersey voter, so you know, there's only so much I can do to help, but I went to my Board of Elections today. I got my mail-in ballot application. I got my ballot. I filled it out, and I delivered it to my county Board of Elections in person.
Wow.
And I did that today because I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing to help out. So this is what everybody has to do here.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for being an example. Thank you for early voting. New Jersey has early in-person voting. You can vote by mail. You can vote in person.
But tomorrow's the deadline to get your mail-in ballot in New Jersey as well. And, you know, I heard people were waiting in line in Jersey for a couple hours. I just don't have the patience for it, Scott. That's why I did that today. Yeah. But tomorrow's tomorrow for PA and New Jersey, tomorrow's the deadline to get that application in. So do it, because I just don't think we can afford, you know, somebody's like, well, listen, I'm one vote. What is one vote matter? If you and 5,000 other people have that mindset and we lose by 5,000 votes, that's a real problem. It may not come down to one vote, but if you're one of the 5,000 that don't vote and then we lose, that's where I'm going to be really upset.
Well, I don't want to give this information to allow anybody to sit on their hands, but listen very carefully. Republicans are actually winning early voting in Arizona. We're winning early voting in Florida, in Nevada, which is unheard of, in North Carolina. And Republicans right now have 30% of the mail-in vote in Pennsylvania. Usually it's only 22%. We're making extreme progress in PA. Now, with that being said, Donald Trump, if he's going to be successful, he needs it all, guys. You give him the presidency, you give him a Republican House, you give him a Republican Senate, but more importantly, this needs to be a mandate. And so to any of you that are in Newark or Camden or Philly or whatever blue area you're in, your vote is going to help Donald Trump achieve something even greater. Give him the popular vote. Mm-hmm. Give him that one extra plus one, and you can really help write into history books that Donald Trump won a mandate in a landslide this November. But it is incumbent upon you. You must vote. You must vote. Like, this election is either we win or it's World War III and a nuclear war. If we either win or that border is going to continue to allow a horde of illegal aliens into our country. You either vote or we're going to have 300 Americans continuing to die from fentanyl. I mean, truly, this election is we must win and we must elect Donald Trump.
Scott Pressler, earlyvoteaction.com. Follow him on X at Scott Pressler. Thanks for all you're doing, my friend. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, listen, I got to do this. I got to tell you about privacy because it matters. It matters a lot. You know, I've been using DuckDuckGo for a long time. And I have to because I don't like being tracked. You know, for years I've been saying this. The government tracks us. All these companies track us. I don't want anybody spying on me. My privacy is everything. It's everything. And, you know, for years I was out there saying this when people back then were defending the government, knowing what we were looking at online and spying on us. And I think we've all come around to that point. But my point is this. There's one browser that helps you, and that's DuckDuckGo. And DuckDuckGo has something new, which I'm really excited for. It's called Privacy Pro. It's a 3-in-1 subscription service. It includes DuckDuckGo VPN. A VPN is essential to protect you online. But it's got two other protections, too. Personal information removal and identity theft restoration. So it helps protect your personal info from being exploited by hackers and all the other people out there, scammers, privacy thieves. It's from DuckDuckGo, which I trust and use, and their search engine does not collect your search data. Their browser has features to stop that. And here's the best part about this. Absolute guarantees. You're going to get speed. You're going to get performance. And you are going to definitely love the fact that Privacy Pro is going to help you be protected online. You can access Privacy Pro through any up-to-date DuckDuckGo browser available on iOS, Android, Mac, and Windows. Simply open up the settings menu and select Privacy Pro. And sign up because it will help you in every single way. DuckDuckGo. It is the answer you've been looking for to protect yourself online. It includes the DuckDuckGo VPN, two other protections, personal information removal, identity theft restoration. DuckDuckGo, do it today.
This is
the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.